Welcome to Ira's Everything Bagel, where I talk with intriguing people about everything, their passions, pursuits, and points of view. Well, when it comes to fiction, readers have countless genres to explore, but few deliver the pulse-pounding intensity and real-world relevance of the military thriller. And my guest today is a master of the craft, Ralph R. Rick Steinke. That's his name. Ralph R. Rick Steinke is an award-winning
Yes,
author whose gripping storytelling and deep military insight bring the genre to life. His latest novel, Vital Mission, it's part of the adrenaline-charged Jake Fortina series, and it plunges readers into high-stakes global missions filled with geopolitical twists, bioterror threats, and the relentless courage of a U.S. Army officer who doesn't back down. For everything about Rick, you can go right to his website and about the book, which will be released August the 26th. We'll mention that again. Go to Rick Steinke, and it's S-T-E-I-N-K-E, Steinke, pronounced Steinke, ricksteinke.com. Follow him on LinkedIn and Facebook. And Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Very good to be with you, Ira. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Before we get into the book itself and the series, which is even more important because that lays the predicate for this current novel, tell us a little bit about your background in a general sort of way so people understand where you're coming from. This is not a figment of your imagination and what you draw from for the novels, the whole series and this particular novel. But tell us a little bit about your background and why you decided to write. That's even probably more important after your background.
So I was commissioned an Army officer, and I served initially in the field artillery and, you know, did all the things I needed to do to eventually serve as a battalion commander of a multiple launch rocket battalion, the last one left in Germany at the time, one that they now can't get enough of, given what's going on, you know, with the Russians between Ukraine and Russia. But at one point in my career, I was able to apply for a program called the Foreign Area Officer Program. And the Army, I think, runs the best one. And it takes the people that have been successful as junior officers and transitions them into working with foreign militaries, U.S. embassies, major U.S. combatant commands. And I went down that path. I think one of the things that interested me in that is, during the Cold War years in Germany, I served as a liaison between a U.S. field artillery brigade and a German artillery regiment, both commanded by colonels. And I was a first lieutenant and worked as a go-between for about 11 months there. And it was a fascinating assignment. And I got accepted to the program, and foreign area officers get to go to language school if they don't have a language. I happen to already have had German, but I also learned Italian. At the Defense Language Institute, get a graduate degree. So I did that as well. And then I went off to serve as an exchange officer and an operations officer with an Italian mountain infantry unit for 2 years. Now, what was interesting about that unit, Ira, was it was part of NATO's old Allied Mobile Force. It was a force established from seven countries. It was a brigade-sized force, about 5,000 soldiers. That if the Russians did what they did in, let's say, 2014 or again in February 2022, we would have been the first to go. And so that was a very operational kind of assignment. I served all the way up to the Arctic Circle with border with Russia, down to southern Italy with some other challenges. So I did that in the international context, and then I got selected to be a liaison from the U.S. Army to the Italian Army, did that for about 18 months, and then my culminating assignment, Ira, was as the U.S. defense attaché and senior defense representative to France in the U.S. Embassy in Paris, and I did that for almost 4 years. So that was kind of my international background. After I left the Army after 28 years, I went to a place called the George C. Marshall European Center for Security Studies, and that's in the German Alps, south of Munich. And I ended up being the associate dean. And the mission of that center is to work with government officials from around the world to counter major national security threats. Terrorism, transnational organized crime, cyber threats, and the list goes on from there. And I did that for almost 14 years. And it was a fascinating assignment. In my last 3 years of that, I was one of two representatives from the center to serve with the Ukrainian government from 2016 to 2019, whereby we worked with the Ukrainians on making their military, if you will, and to a degree, their government more Western oriented. And we worked on things like parliamentary oversight of the armed forces, interagency cooperation, like between agencies, like between the, you know, the diplomats, the military, law enforcement, and all that stuff, strategic communications and those kinds of things. And so I learned a lot in that assignment, and then kind of saw the handwriting on the wall at one point in terms of my career, probably tapped out. Retired, like everybody does at some point, right?
Well, that's quite a career, though, so far. So, yes.
Well, thank you. My wife said, you know, I started. It's. I don't want to belabor this one, but I was supposed to go to another assignment to be the political and military advisor to a 4-star general, but my security clearance had lapsed, and it was COVID had hit, and I was starting to have blood pressure and heart issues and all this crazy stuff. And my wife just looked at me and she goes, "You know, Rick, I think the universe is screaming at you to retire." And so that's exactly what I did. And I wanted to write for a while. I wrote a memoir about my time at the U.S. Embassy called Next Mission. It was pretty successful. I'm going to have a revised edition in the next year or so come back out there. And I wrote that. It was good. But then I thought, you know, I want to be able to tell more of the story. I want to be able to talk about our behind-the-scenes cooperation between the U.S. Armed Forces, diplomats, intelligence, law enforcement. And so I started, you know, putting that together. I wanted to tell the story of our great non-commissioned officers, our sergeants, which are some of the best in the world, frontline leaders, something I can guarantee you the Russians cannot touch the West on, or any former Soviet militaries could touch us on, because we focus on frontline leadership, initiative, all that kind of stuff. It's so critical in battle operations. And then I also wanted to talk about military families and what they go through. And in my first book, you know, I provide an example of where Jake, you know, loses a soldier in combat in Afghanistan, and his, you know, his wife gets the word that she's lost her husband, you know, and her kids get that word too. And just how utterly heart-wrenching that is. So those are the kind of things I wanted to talk about. And that's the path I decided to go down. And that was my first book, Major Jake Fortina and the Tier 1 Threat. And that sort of theme continues throughout all my books.
Sure. You're mentioning your language skills and going back to school.
Yeah.
Have you found that the books that you've written about in the series Jake Fortina, that they are translated into other languages? In fact, the languages that you speak, German and Italian, et cetera?
That's next. I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I'm really at a transition point of really sort of getting my books out there. I have mainly been focused on writing and sort of getting a good body of content. And starting next year, next summer, summer of 2026, I will start working with some organizations to be able to do what you described at the end of the day. And frankly, you know, my big goal, I'll speak it to the universe now, is to get Jake out there and a film or two, or perhaps on streaming media. I mean, I'm just going to put that right out there. So that's my bigger goal that's out there.
Do you find that Jake mirrors you in any way?
That's a very good question. What's that?
I said, that's why I'm here. I like to ask that question.
I tell people that 2/3 of what Jake does, meetings he's been in, places he's been to, is me. 1/3 is the Hollywood piece. And that's the piece I get to have some fun with.
Right.
Develop the plots and all that kind of stuff. And Jake's physical attributes, and his background are modeled on a dear friend of mine, a guy named Mike Fortino.
Very close to Fortina.
Very close. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And I had a former author friend say, hey, you may want to round this off a little bit and change it a bit. Mike's father was a World War II veteran. My dad was a World War II veteran. These two guys used to hang out in the American Legion, get in trouble with their moms, probably drink a bit too much sometimes, play too much poker, that kind of thing, you know. Right. But I met Mike when I was 11. We were fishing buddies. We were sports buddies. What was interesting about Mike is that his father was of Sicilian heritage and his mother was of Lebanese heritage. And so, you know, he was a guy that in mainly the Mediterranean area, just I'm going to be blunt, he could blend in everywhere. He could blend in a lot of places. He was an excellent athlete. And so, yeah, he's a Michigan guy. He's a Tigers fan. He's a Lions fan. Thank God they're both, well, Tigers are struggling right now, but hopefully they'll get back in the game here pretty soon. But yeah, that's his sports stuff that I bring into play and so forth. And so that's where a lot of the character references come from, Ira, at the end of the day.
So I'm assuming your wife read all the books in the series so far.
She has.
One, which again is called Vital Missions, coming out very shortly in August.
Yeah.
So when she read it, did she see you in it as well?
She did. She did. And she very much, you know, appreciated certainly the family aspect of it too.
Right.
You know? Yeah, no, that makes sense. She was the one carrying that burden for. We've been married for almost 39 years now. And she spent, with me? I think 18 of my 28 in the Army. So she
knows the story.
She knows. She's been around the block.
Because you've written novels, fiction, in a way, I assume you didn't have to have any of the books cleared by anybody in the government.
You nailed that question, and I haven't been asked that, and I've done a couple of these now in the last 10 days. You're the first one to ask that question. Yes, sir. My first next mission, I had to go eight agencies and departments, 6 months it took. I had to do my first and second books, had to be vetted as well. They took... again, about 6 months to get squared away. The comeback corrections were modest because I stay away from that classified line. I know where that line is, and I don't even mess with it. You know, I make sure that we're clear. I can talk about it. It may infer some things, but it never goes there. And then with the third book, I did something whereby I wouldn't need to necessarily go back for clearance, and the same with this one coming up now. So
I think, yeah, when you as an author and you are aware, obviously, of your background, you're aware of what to kind of disguise or at least modify, so it's not giving away anything. I'm assuming that applies primarily to locales and operational issues and techniques rather than the character.
That's character. Absolutely correct. And you know, the things. Because I was in the intelligence realm for a while, there are things like sources and methods. You just got to be—you have to be very careful about it. You don't want the bad guys because they're out there. They're scanning open source material just like our guys are all the time, and ladies are trying to find stuff about our adversaries. And so you got to be real careful not to give them sort of the last shreds or a lead to find another shred to, you know, potentially lose some of our own people in that regard. So that's one of the reasons why I do my dead set best to stay on one side of that line, if you will.
Sure. When you started the series, well, when you wrote the first one, did you know it was going to be a series, or were you so excited about writing?
You know, no, I did not. I did not. I didn't know how the first one was going to do, you know, and I'm sure you've had other authors say you just don't know how things are going to be received at the end of the day. You think you've probably, you know, written a decent piece of work with a decent story, hopefully, that moves right along, but you just don't know how things are going to be received. So that first one was really, you know, I was testing the water, and the comments were very, very, and the ratings are and have been, continue to be, hopefully, very encouraging. And so I said, well, man, maybe, and people said, hey, well, you got another, and then right away, reviewers are going to see, can't wait for the next one. You know, I can't wait for the next Jake story. And so I thought, well, maybe this has got some legs. And so I just leaned into it after that. So
makes sense. If it's a success, why not?
Yeah, right. 100%.
Would you say Vital Mission, which is the current novel in the series, would you say that it is exponentially more exciting or stirring or dangerous than the previous novels?
Exciting and stirring more? No, I would say no to that. There's an element of danger involved in all of them. I mean, they're all kind of relative, so there is something there. I'm very proud and happy about, I was just telling my wife the other day, of Vital Mission, because it's a tough topic, and it's a pretty, I would hope, comprehensive yet fast-moving look at that topic, and that's something that doesn't get a heck of a lot of press. I guess I know some of it's out there, but that's something that's off the radar of a lot of Americans, and that is, you know, 20,000 children having been taken from the cities of Ukraine during this war back into Russia. And it gets at that topic, and it personalizes it, if you will. So I think this one will be well received. Some of my initial reviewers have really liked it. And so, yeah, so we'll go from there.
When you started to work on this particular novel, as opposed to the other ones, as part of the series, do you mentally go back and review the previous books to keep the story moving forward? And as an addendum to that question, or part two of that question, is can someone read Vital Mission without having read any of the previous books?
Perfect question again. Yes, I do get people caught up. I cover some of the main details that they kind of need to know to put them in that setting, and who these folks are and what they are about. What was the second part to your question?
Well, that was it, whether or not it was a standalone.
Oh, yeah, good. Yes. So you can parachute right in there. You can start with any book, just parachute right in, because I'm going to start out with a chapter within five short chapters. I write short chapters, 3 to 5 pages, typically 3 to 6 pages. You're going to know where this is headed and what this is about and who these folks are.
We talked about, or in my opening, I talked about this genre, which I didn't realize there was that specific, or subgenre, maybe that's even a better way to do it.
Yes.
How did that develop? And are you meeting fellow authors in that world, in that realm?
I've met some just by going to conferences. I've been to a few of those.
But in other words, because it's a military thriller, it's a very defined space. And I've never thought about it before until I wanted to have you on the show, that's an actual genre or subgenre, as opposed to all kinds of thrillers.
So. If you really wanted to be, you know, nail it, that would be a political military thriller. So, and I would say, even to sort of fit the genres that are out there, certainly for like book competitions and so forth, global thriller, high stakes global thriller is even more accurate, with a subtext of military thriller and political thriller, and across the boundaries, political military thriller at the end of the day.
But how is the book classified by librarians or the Library of Congress, or the Copyright Office, or
grosso modo, thriller, and then coming down a bit, you're talking about global thriller typically is the leading genre for it at the end of the day.
Well, let's go back to the book itself. We were talking about the main plot of the book, but are there subplots? And obviously they involve the main character. And are there other characters in the novel that you could share with us that would get people interested in reading the book in addition to Jake?
Wow. Yes. I would say one of the subplots involves a Russian army female medic who gets involved with these children and whose heart is troubled, let's put it that way. And she acts on that at some point. There's also a subtext of a romance there that's going to develop between her. I'm not going to say what country or who it is. I don't want to give too much of the story away. But there's definitely a romantic aspect to it as well. The reason the subtitle is called a Jake Fortina series love story is there's that aspect that's the love story. And then there's also the love that an uncle would have for his nephews or nieces that are in harm's way. And there's no really, when you start looking around about who the people are that might be able to, you know, solve this terrible, terrible, it's you. And so that's part of the story as well. And I bring in macro level Russian stuff into play, as well as, you know, Ukrainian. Another sub story is of a Ukrainian sergeant who really becomes a hero in the story. And I'll leave it at that. I don't want to say much more about that. And I continue the subtext of Jake Fortina, commissioned officer, lieutenant colonel, and his fellow sergeant. I'm having a brain cramp on him now. Manny Alvarez, I think it is, who continues to work with him on this particular problem set. So there's that story as well.
When you write the book, or as you're writing maybe, or doing research, and you obviously, with your background, as you explained in the beginning, there's a lot of your background that you can integrate into the story. But when it involves the Russians and the Ukrainians, are you also talking to people who are Russians or Ukrainians to get input into the book, or to review what you've written and see if it has that ring of truth?
In this case, I did not. I have a dear Ukrainian friend who's retired, just recently, very recently retired colonel. And we've been going back and forth on my books all along. And so in this particular case, I didn't feel the need, because I did the research that I did, that I were to fill in the blanks, if you will, which I think is absolutely critical. You know, learning about kids' military schools and things like this that are prevalent in Russia, and other things that I didn't really think I needed to go there, to be honest with you, on this one.
When you are writing fiction, I've never asked an author this, and you're the perfect person to ask, especially with the subject matter. When you're writing fiction, but it's about things that can be dangerous or harrowing or upsetting, etc., even though it's fiction, as you're writing it, do you start to get emotionally impacted by what you're writing?
You're asking all the good ones, sir.
Thank you.
Short answer is yes. There are times, if I can feel the emotion and it gets me stirred up writing it, you know, as long as it's not hokey or any of that stuff, as long as it's authentic.
Right.
I know I'm on the right track. And sometimes I just got to step away. And I'll just sit down and think about it for a while. And it may take me to some place sometimes. But I'll also want to make sure that it will resonate. And I've had a few people say, you know, this one, you know, it was had me sobbing, which, hey, that's the goal. If we're going there, I'm right there with you. You know what I mean? So, and even laughing some places as well. That's, you got to have some humor in there too. So 100%. And before I write, I try to make sure I'm conveying those deep set emotions that we all have. And, you know, I like to tell people that Jake is not your kind of guy that's going to go in there and blast through a door and, pull out two revolvers and shoot 15 people in 35 seconds. That's not him. He's a guy that's got real family issues, family tragedies he's got to live through. He's got the loss of soldier tragedies that rip his guts out that he's got to live through. I try to make sure he's the real deal at the end of the day.
And that's always the challenge when you're writing that kind of a book, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
When you're a wife, I want to go back to your wife again too. When she reads the book and she, I mentioned it, and we talked about it earlier about there's reflections of you within the novels as well. But does she also wonder where all this stuff is coming from in terms of when you're writing grim stuff?
Not really. She's a prolific reader. She's one of these people that every night, well, before hitting the sack, will knock out 20, 30 minutes of reading.
Better person than me. I can't do it.
I can't do it either. When my head goes down on a pillow, it's an old military thing, I guess. I'm out. See you later. I'll read tomorrow, right? But not, I might even read at 5 a.m., but I'm not going to read at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. And so she's very widely read. So, but she tells me, I like this one better. I like the story, whatever. So I get that kind of feedback too. So.
Did it help having your military background from the point of view of discipline in writing?
That's the thing I can't be any more thankful about. Yes, there are times when you're like, man.
I'd rather be outside playing or something.
Yeah. And even more, the marketing side of the house. You just got to lean into that. And you just got to say, if I want to get where I need to go, I got to pay the price. Still learning, still learning in that, still learning and writing for that matter. But yeah, that sort of discipline helps tremendously. I remember when I first wrote Major Jake 14 of the Tier 1 Threat, the very first novel, I thought I was done. And then for about 6 weeks, it was almost like clockwork. Every morning, 4:30, I would wake up. I'd be laying in bed and I'm going, you know what? You need to change this scene. It's like a spiritual download almost. It's what I refer to it as, right? The Almighty's talking to me and he's like, you need to change that scene, or you need to go do more with this because it's pretty flat, or whatever the case might be. And I'd get my butt out of bed at 4:30 and I'd go downstairs and start cranking away for 2-3 hours, get caps. I'd take my phone and I'd take my notes app and get under the covers so I'm not waking her up, and I'd start recording it. Well, first I forgot stuff. That was the very beginning. I'd say, oh yeah, I'll remember that tomorrow morning.
No, you'll never remember it the next
time. You don't remember 2-3 hours, like 2-3 hours later, you're like, now what was that I was thinking of? I know it was good, but what was it? So then I'm using my phone. Here's my notes page. I'm writing it down, put it back on the thing. I'd wake up and the alarm goes off. And then I said, no, that's not good enough. You got to get up and you got to roll. So that's how that, and I did that for about 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's amazing. Before I let you go, what do you want readers to take from the current book of Vital Mission, part of the JK?
I hope they first of all, are entertained by it. I hope they are educated by it. I always try to put educational, not slapping people upside the head or anything like that, educational things. And to some degree, maybe, and this is sort of the five-star level, if you will, we'll be enlightened by it at the end of the day. But I want them to have fun reading it and to see that there's, in this particular case, there's kind of stuff going on, which to me is shocking in the 21st century that's out there.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Ralph R. Rick Steinke. He's author of Vital Mission. It's part of the Jake Fortina series. For everything about Rick and the book, go to ricksteinke.com and follow him on LinkedIn and Facebook. And Rick, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Ira. Deeply appreciate it. Great conversation.
Enjoyed it. And join us every Thursday for a new schmear on Ira's Everything Bagel.